And before we get into this wild, incredible vision that God gives to his servant Ezekiel, first, I want to congratulate you guys that we have made it to week 5. We are officially at the last week of our sermon series. We did it. We did it. Round of applause, right? We did it. Next week is Palm Sunday. We're getting ready for Easter so soon, but we got to wrap up this series where if you've been with us at all over the last several weeks, we've been experiencing the gospel in the Old Testament, and we've really been listening to God's story of salvation throughout the whole Old Testament. It's a story that begins way back in Genesis, Adam and Eve. Sin comes into the world, and right as sin comes into the world, God makes a promise to do something about it, right? He's not going to leave his people in sin and in death. And we see this plan really start to take shape as God calls Abraham and Sarah. And he says, through your offspring, I will make a great nation. And through that nation, my Messiah will come. Their offspring do in fact grow into a great nation. Unfortunately, they become slaves in Egypt for quite some time, and they're set free from Egypt. And as they're being set free from captivity, they're grumbling, and they're angry with God, and they're already doubting God. But despite the fact that they turn away from him and grumble against him, God continues to provide for his people. And that's a very big theme in the Old Testament. That's a very big theme, I think, in life, is God's people turn away from him, they rebel against him, they grumble at him, but he continues to provide. Last week, we heard about God's prophecy through Isaiah, where the people once again are rebelling and turning away, chasing after false gods. And so God is going to send the Babylonians to carry his people away into exile. They will experience the sufferings of war, captivity, and slavery. And that leads us to this vision that God gives to Ezekiel. He leads him by the hand out into this valley, and all Ezekiel can see is a bunch of dried up bones, right? All he can see are the results of war. All he can see are the results of suffering and death. All Ezekiel sees is this big mass grave. And I want to think about, from Ezekiel's perspective, some things that are happening at this point. As he's looking out at the bones of his people, Israel, I'm sure he can remember and he can hear in his mind's eye the sound of horse hooves hitting the ground and chariots rolling and swords clanging as the Babylonians storm the people of God. He can hear the screams of the people as they're literally pulled away from their loved ones, from their families, pulled away from their homes, and carried off into foreign lands with no hope of ever seeing each other again, ever seeing their families again, no hope of ever returning to their hometown again. Babylon may as well be one big grave. And as Ezekiel is looking out at these dried bones, the suffering, the war, the death, I imagine he's asking, God, why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us to this point of hopelessness, this point of complete uncertainty? Why did you bring me to this big mass grave? Why am I here? Well, Ezekiel would see very quickly why he's here, looking at a mass grave, a valley full of dry bones. He would see very quickly that It's in fact at the moment when things seem the most hopeless. It's the moment whenever God's people are perhaps the most confused. It's actually in the suffering, it's actually at a grave that God shows his power. That God shows just how awesome of a God he is. That God shows just how much he loves us. Where Ezekiel sees a grave, God sees an army, right? And Ezekiel watches as the bones come together, the graves are opened, and breath is breathed back into God's people. What this vision from Ezekiel allows us to do is a couple of things. It allows us to take an honest, hard look at the suffering that perhaps we experience in this life, the suffering that we see going on in maybe the world around us. It allows us to take a good, honest look at whatever grave God might be leading you to. Whatever situation causes you to ask God, why am I here? And it also allows us to remember that it's at a grave that God shows just how much he loves us. Perhaps you're thinking right now of some times in your life when you've asked this question or a question similar to it. God, why is this happening? All I see is suffering. All I see is a grave of some kind. Why am I here? Well, I'd like to share with you a moment in my life I encountered, or God led me to a grave. It was 2017. That was my freshman year of college. So I don't know if that makes me sound really young to you guys or maybe really old to some of you guys. It was Christmas break, and my family was getting ready to take our yearly trip to Colorado. Some of you guys know that I'm a Denver Bronco fan. Don't hold that against me. But that's because all of my family lives in Colorado. Both my parents were born and raised there. My oldest brother was actually born there. But we moved to Missouri. That's where I spent my entire life. And every year, we would make that trip from Kansas City, Missouri, through the beautiful Great Plains of Kansas, to a little small town in southern Colorado. Every Christmas, we spent at my grandma's house. And it was one of those trips where there were several times where we would take friends with us on this road trip. In fact, Ren, my wife, whenever we were in high school, she went on one of these road trips with us. And so this year is 2017, Christmas break, freshman year of college. We're getting ready to make the trip. And we have two friends going with us. One of them is one of my best friends, his name is Daniel. He was the best man at our wedding. And another friend is a girl named Selena. She grew up right down the road from us. Really, really good family friend. So there were nine of us in total going on this trip. So we had to take two cars. The morning of the trip comes. It's December 26th. We get up. We start loading up the cars. And without really planning it at all, it just so happened that all of the guys, they got into the same car. Me and my dad in the driver's seat, my little brother, my buddy Daniel, and then my other little brother all pack into the minivan. And then all the girls, they load up into my little red pickup truck at the time. Here's a picture of them. Left to right, that's my big sister, Brianna. It's my mom, Lisa, So that's our friend Selena next to her. And then my little sister Aria. They all load up into the red pickup truck. We all load up into our little minivan. And we start making the trip. About 3 hours into the state of Kansas, a little town called Abilene, I wake up from a nap. I'm laying on the ground of the car. And I wake up because my dad, he's pulling the car over to the side of the road. And as I'm waking up and a little confused, not really sure what's going on, I get a glimpse of him getting out of the driver's seat and a glimpse of my brother getting out of the passenger seat, and they start walking back the way we had just came. And me and my other little brother and my buddy Daniel were in the back seat, still waking up from our naps, not really sure what's going on. And a few minutes go by, and we haven't really heard anything. A few minutes go by, we haven't really seen anything. We're looking around, and we don't see that little red pickup truck anywhere. So a few minutes go by, and finally I decide to go see what's going on. And I step out into the snow, and I start walking back the way we came. And as I'm walking further and further again, I still can't see anything. I don't know why we're here. I don't know why we stopped. There's cars whizzing by on my right, and I walk a little bit closer, and I notice that we had just finished coming across an overpass, a big, long bridge. There's this big rail going down the side of the highway. And I walk a little further and a little further until the ground gives way. And down below me, about 25 feet or so, I see my dad and my brother for the first time. And they're running in circles around that little red pickup truck. They had hit some ice on the bridge, drove off the railing. The truck had rolled and landed top down, about 25-foot drop. And I knew right away. There was no hope of any of them walking out of that truck, of any of them walking away from that alive. All I could see is the result of death, the result of sin. I was looking at a grave. And the thing about that story, about the grave that God led me to, is the more and more I tell it, and more I listen to your stories, to hear the things that you guys have seen, to hear the things you guys have gone through, the more and more I am very aware that this story is really not all that unique. Every single one of you either has or will be led by God to a point of suffering. You will all encounter your own graves of some kind. You will all experience those moments where you ask God, "Why am I here? What is it for you? What's the grave that God has led you to?" Some of us have lost people we love. Some of us have lost relationships that we cherish. Some of us have experienced trauma, emotionally or physically, some sort of abuse by the people that are supposed to be loving us. All of us have been led to that grave, have experienced that moment, either we have or we will, where we ask, why am I here? But we cannot forget. We must remember and remind each other that it's at the point of suffering. It's whenever all hope seems lost. It's whenever it seems like death has won. It's actually at a grave that God shows just how much he loves us. Remember, Jesus is talking to the sister of one of his good buddies that had just died, right? His friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he's speaking to Lazarus's sister Martha, and she's asking those hard questions. Why did this happen? Why weren't you here, Jesus? And Jesus reminds her, he says, Martha, Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. And she says, yes, Lord, I know whenever God raises his people on the last day, he will be raised. And Jesus kind of interjects. He says, Martha, no, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Martha, do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord. Why are we here? Why are we here right now? We are here because of some incredible gracious act of God and his goodness. By the power of the Spirit, we have been given faith where we can respond like Martha did. Where we can say, yes, Lord, we do actually believe that through suffering and at a grave, you show how much you love us. Yes, Lord, we actually believe that you became the exile for us, that you actually experienced your own kind of slavery, that you actually experienced suffering in this world, that you experienced trauma emotionally and physically, that you went to a grave, and that at the grave, you showed your power. You showed how awesome you are. And that you left a grave empty. And because of that, you guys, because we can say, yes, Lord, we actually believe that Jesus left a grave empty. Now, I can share the story of the grave of my mom, Lisa, and my sister, Brianna, and Aria, and our friend, Selena, while also sharing the story of the life that they're living right now, while also talking about the resurrection that they will experience. Every single one of us, whenever we experience suffering and pain and we go through the things that seem hopeless and that don't make sense and that make us ask questions, we can say, yes, I believe God is actually able to take something evil, to take something horrible and use it for good. I believe that God can take a grave, can take hopelessness, can take death, and turn it into an army. Right? Do you believe this? Amen. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Amen. The vision that God gives Ezekiel, it's not only a promise to God's people at that particular place and time that they're going to return from exile, that they're not going to be slaves much longer. It is that, but it's also more than that. It's an actual picture of what is waiting for us. That suffering is going to be turned into rejoicing. That dry bones are going to become an army. That you will be raised from the dead, just as Jesus was raised from the dead. That's why we're here. Amen. Let me say a prayer for us. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for being a God beyond anything we can imagine, with power beyond anything we can imagine, with love and mercy beyond anything we deserve. Give us eyes to see whenever we are facing traumatic things, whenever we are facing hard things that cause us to question, that bring us suffering and confusion. Help us to trust, Lord, that you are in the midst of it. Even if we never happen to see how you are using that suffering, Lord, we trust that you do. Because it's exactly in suffering, it's exactly at death that you showed the kind of God you are and just how much you love us. Let that influence everything that we think, do, and say for the rest of our lives here in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were here last week, you know that we started doing something called sermon takeaways. And you may remember that I actually gave you some homework last week to talk about the things you heard in church with somebody that you met, somebody that you see on a regular basis. And these sermon takeaways, that's on a little slip of paper. It should be right in front of you. It should be pretty easy to find, right in the back of the pew. There should be scattered all over the place. We want to give you guys just a minute to reflect on the things that God has been speaking. How has God been speaking to you today? Through the message, through the songs being sung, through the prayers we've been praying. What is God stirring in you? How is he forming you? What is impacting you? What might go with you? What might you be able to share with somebody? What's your sermon takeaway? We want to give you just a minute to actually write those things down. And whenever you're done, this is yours to keep. Please don't put it back into the little slot. Take it with you. Let's just take a minute to reflect on what has God been saying to you today.